Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me, because more than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft 2. Play in a real live NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry, that's right, free, into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOCAVS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using the promo code LOCAVS. But it gets even better, because Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even giving Locked On Cavaliers listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. So, search Draft in your favorite app store today or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOCAVS.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com, here today to recap Cavs Thunder from Tuesday, February 13th, a game the Cavs won 120 to 112. They're now 2-0 with the new guys, 3-0 since the trade deadline, if you want to include the Hawks game. And if you really want to get into it, 4-0 since LeBron James seems to find out about the moves they're going to make, but a good win for the Cavs. This is a Thunder team that got back Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook after they missed two games. They have Paul George, obviously. They're a top six defense, one of the best teams in the West. They're 32-26, just a little bit worse than the Cavs record-wise, but again, a very good team. LeBron James in this game, 37 points, including a 17-point outburst in the third quarter, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. J.R. Smith, 18 points on 6 of 10 shooting, all of which came from behind the arc. Had 6 rebounds and 3 assists as well, and 1 steal. Also had a very heads-up play in the fourth quarter that set up a Larry Nance dunk to really seal this game, put the cherry on the game in a lot of ways. And then Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, excellent off the bench. Rodney Hood, again, excellent off the bench. 13 points for Nance, a career-high 8 offensive rebounds. 14 points for Clarkson, 14 points for Hood, an overall good game. Instead of the normal recap format, we're going to try something new today. I'm going to give you 3 takeaways from this game that we're going to take going forward. So you know what's coming for the rest of the week. We'll have a mailbag and a show of what we should think about going into the All-Star break coming up the rest of this week. Days to be determined. One will be Thursday, one will be Friday. Then you'll have a full, kind of an All-Star weekend reaction of some kind on Monday. And then we'll have TBD shows next week. So even though the Cavs will not be playing another game until next Thursday, we're going to have a show every day next week, Monday, Friday. No more flu for me. Feeling great, actually, for the first time in a week, and that feels great. So we're here for Cavs Thunder, recapping this game. So 3 takeaways. Number 1, LeBron James in this game, you can see how it's very interesting to see him playing the full Batman role, to play that fully in control, kind of God mode guy. Had a couple of bad turnovers in this game. Just generally had some moments that he wasn't at his best. But then you look at some of the things that he does in this game in the third quarter. The 17 points, the stepping into these deep threes, the pinpoint assists where he's just finding open guys. Even when they don't make shots, he's finding these open guys. LeBron James right now, with the way he's playing, is kind of back to LeBron that we saw, I think, before some of the malcontents and some of the drama sitting with this team. I'm not ready to throw him. It's way too early to throw him into an MVP discussion based on the Cavs' overall record. They're standing in the East, his defensive play for a lot of this, but this was an awesome LeBron game. He battled on defense. He didn't always do this, but he defended Melo pretty tight. Melo made some really tough shots on him, but this is LeBron that was battling Carmelo Anthony in the post, that was fighting for position inside and switching on to guys and making sure guys weren't getting open looks on him. He had these pinpoint assists. He had these good rebounds. And yes, there are moments where I think he stopped the ball when he should have kept the ball moving. And yes, there are the turnovers when he just kind of threw pass into traffic were not ideal. But LeBron played great, and I think after the game, he was right. He had this comment to Dennis Scott on the Players Only broadcast that the worst thing for the Cavs right now is that they're going into the break and that they are not able to keep building on this. I 100% agree with him. This is a team that just got together. I don't know what everyone's plans are, but the only guys that are going to LA to participate in All-Star Weekend are LeBron to play in captain All-Star Sunday, and Larry Nance, who's going to participate in the dunk contest on Saturday, and maybe Kevin Love will go, and maybe some other guys are going to LA, but like Jordan Clarkson loves LA, but they aren't going to be traveling together, practicing together, getting those reps in now. I don't know when they adjourn for break officially, but you have to imagine it could be as early as Wednesday. Whenever they come back, this team is really going to benefit from getting back to practicing and getting back to playing. They do, again, have games right away next week. Back-to-back, actually, to start off next week. Wizards Thursday, Grizzlies on Friday. But if you're the Cavs, you'd like to keep building on this right now. I firmly believe if they could, they would rather play this weekend than go on All-Star break. And LeBron's right about that. And he, with how he's playing right now, it'd be good to see him building on what he's doing. So far, number two observation is that the bench units in this post-Dwayne Wade, post-trade era are working. I don't want to draw a conclusion on this yet because it's been two games. I think Clarkson and Hood and some of these guys are not going to shoot this well overall moving forward. But if you're the Cavs, I think you have to feel really good about what you're seeing. If you go into the first half when LeBron sits, they outscore the Thunder 13-10 on the bench when LeBron sits in the first half. And then you go to the fourth quarter after LeBron plays all of the third quarter, which seems to be the pattern for him right now, is that he's going to sit all of the third, or play all of the third, excuse me. Obviously not going to sit a whole quarter, and then play and then kind of sit up part of the fourth. There's just a couple minutes, like he's at three plus. The Cavs enter the fourth quarter, for example. He doesn't play at the end of the quarter. He finishes at 17 points. The Cavs go into the fourth leading by four. All right, they take a position. LeBron sits, and so they run out of this lineup of Korver, Hood, Clarkson, Nance, and Jeff Green versus Steven Adams, Raymond Felton, Jeremiah Grant, Alex Abrines, and Patrick Patterson. Paul George comes in 48 seconds into the corner, so this is basically a Paul George plus bench mob versus Cavs bench mob. When LeBron checks back in for Korver at 8:12, so a little bit under 4 minutes. The Cavs are up 10 points. This is not something I would have expected. One of the concerns I had about the trade, and it wasn't a major concern, I think it was more of an adjustment, was that one of the reasons the bench lineups have worked this year was because of Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, for maybe him not being perfect for this team, for maybe the defensive issues, maybe making him a liability in the finals come June, if the Cavs were lucky to get there with that group, and we can debate all we want about how that would have worked. He gave those bench units a someone that could, I think, attack from outside and score and give them punch. For whatever reason this year, with him, with Jeff Green playing very well, with some of the other pieces they have, those bench lineups were successes. I thought there was going to be a drop-off, but if you look at how these guys are playing with Clarkson, I think, just playing so well, with Nance providing energy, with Green, for all of his limitations and some of the things he just will never do well, and the kind of cringiness of giving him post-up touches in a 2018 hyper-efficient basketball world, with Rodney Hood being someone that, if you listen to David Locke on the show and listen to everything else going on with him and what you think about his and what he just his statistics show he is, being an inconsistent guy, with Kyle Korver not really getting to do much right now. We'll talk about him in a second, but these bench lineups are succeeding in a way I didn't expect, and that's a really positive sign. It's two games. The Celtics game is an outlier. This game is close, and this is a game I think I will probably rewatch over All-Star break to kind of shake some of this out in more detail. Maybe if you want to hear more about this game, I can certainly dive back into that. But I think these bench units work right now. I think Kevin Love for Green is the move once he comes back. I really like how that would fit. I think you could miss, I think you eventually will at some point miss having that second creator from the outside. Maybe Hood can rise into that. That's kind of what the Jazz wanted him to be, and he didn't necessarily work out there. Clarkson is certainly going to go for it, but I think Kevin Love for Green is kind of the move there. I think getting Korver to do more and playing more would be good as well. I think they're not playing him as much right now. He only played about 8 minutes in this game because he's just... The other guys they have are just going to offer some more dynamic, but Korver is still playing a role. If you read my player grades, which are in the show notes and on FeelingTheSword.com, I pointed out that he's still directing the offense. He's still playing good defense, and I think his spacing is going to be more important. And there's times where I've wondered, okay, Hood's going to give you something more dynamic, and he's going to be able to attack, and he's going to really be able to get his shot off whenever he wants to. But is Korver shooting and the steadiness of that, the consistency that you know you're going to get from him, maybe more valuable in certain spots? That's going to be a question I wonder if Ty Lue has to answer down the line. Do you bet? So far, they're betting on that, the agility and the creation and the dynamicism of Hood. Could the steadiness of Korver come into play? Because, again, I think, I don't know how you get there, but I think more than 8 minutes for him, it should be a thing. I don't know if, this is a guy that has been playing, was one of the 3-4 best Cavs this season, and I'm going to look it up right now, but this is the guy that for the year, is averaging 21 minutes a night, and he was averaging 24 last year, and maybe he's truly going to get a cut now. I think that's reasonable, but does he need to go all the way down to 8? And I think now we also see where, where Dwayne Wade's minutes are going to cut. And maybe Jetty Osman's minutes get trimmed eventually as well. If he's not going to start full-time going forward, his 15, maybe some of that goes to Korver in the playoffs, when I think Jetty is probably going to get cut anyway and Korver becomes more valuable. But I think Korver is going to be someone to keep an eye moving forward. But I think overall these bench units are playing really well. I think Nance was awesome in this game in particular. I his offensive rebounding and his ability to battle the monstrosity, Khal Drogo, gargantuan monster that is Steven Adams was really impressive. Adams was maybe the best Thunder player overall in this game. He had those 12 offensive boards, really destroyed Tristan Thompson. And Nance had his issues as well with Steven Adams, but he battled them pretty well. And I think overall, with everything you got from the bench guys, you have to be happy. I mean, Clarkson basically earned a 50-50 minute split with George Hill in this game. Hill's going to be the better defender. I think he should be the closer. Hill definitely should be the closing at point guard for this team, but Clarkson in this particular game earned his minutes, and Lou has the tendency to ride the hot hand, so keep an eye on that moving forward. Lastly, let's take a look at the two of the four remaining members of the 2016 final winning team. That's J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson. Two very different entries for these guys. To start with J.R., this is the type of J.R. performance I think the Cavs have really been waiting on. I think 6-10 from the field, 6-9 from 3, 6 rebounds, engaged defense, 3 assists, no turnovers, and 31 minutes for JR is everything they've wanted. Now, he talked to Dave McMenamin about how he told Lou he might want to come off the bench, and there is some chatter about it that he might have been traded. We know the Cavs were trying to shop that contract, but considering he's still on the team, is still going to start going forward, which I tweeted I think is the right call, at least to start. We're going to see how Hood acclimates first, but JR was excellent in this game. He had a couple kind of moments that I didn't love, dribbled into some bad shots, took kind of some moments with the ball in his hands where I don't love when he attacks necessarily. He doesn't always have the best judgment once he drives, but when he's shooting like this, when he's rebounding and fighting through screens and battling on defense like this, this is the guy the Cavs have needed all season. I don't know what the magic juice is to keep this flowing after the All-Star break, but I really do believe that J.R. Smith is so key to this team. His play is not a top three thing I'm watching the rest of the season. The new guys acclimating, how Lou manages lineups, and Kevin Love's return are probably my biggest three in terms of storylines I'm watching the rest of the year. The defense and kind of being the overall thrust of the combining of those, and how the defense improves, it has to be the overall number one, but it's kind of a combination for me. JR's play is got to be, in my mind, a top five thing that matters for this Cavs team. If he plays like this and can play like this the rest of the year, maybe he's certainly not going to shoot this well every night, but if he can keep this consistency and that effort and still play defense and can contribute something on a night-to-night basis, that is a really big deal. And it gives the Cavs a deeper rotation. It gives them someone that they can trust. It gives them someone that can defend point guards and defend shooting guards and just help. And you have to hope that J.R. Smith, if you're the Cavs, is going to stick around. This was everything you want out of a J.R. Smith game. And it seriously, that play at the end of the game, I cannot... It didn't win the game, but for J.R. Smith to make this play where he runs to the baseline, flicks a ball that would have gone to the Thunder and given them a shot at getting in under 5 points, and he flicks it to the other end and gets it, sets up a Larian Instunk that makes it, they put, basically put the game out of reach and kind of ended the Thunder's chances of even something resembling a comeback. You have to feel really, really good about that J.R. Smith showing up tonight in Oklahoma City it was a very close game, a game that had lead swings that the Cavs led for most of it, but had to repel a comeback to ultimately solidify. And for Tristan, you know, I think Larry Nance earned that closing minutes against him, but he struggled, I think, particularly early against Steven Adams, just got beasted on the offensive glass. Size-wise, we just have to know that Thompson is going to struggle against centers like that. There aren't, you know, if you look at the teams the Cavs are going to face in the dregs of the rest of the season, you know, Toronto doesn't really have that big guy. Boston doesn't really have that guy. I don't think Milwaukee centers qualify for that. That type of team, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Golden State has Zaza, but is Zaza at this point that? No. I think Tristan's bad finals performance last year outside, considered, I wouldn't have a worry about him against guys that size in that series. Okay, see if they somehow made it, sure. I don't think Houston has it, etc. But this was just a really bad night for him. Adams is clearly the Thunder's third best player. I mean, it's George, Westbrook, and Adams for me. Tristan Thompson just thoroughly outplayed. He did some stuff better later. Missed this one shot. I think you have to hope he makes. But a bad night for him. Did not earn those minutes. I don't want to. You can't totally just render him irrelevant, but he's had some really good games and he's had some really bad games, and I think for him to have a game like this was not particularly great. And if you're the Cavs, you have to find a way, I think, to get him going consistent moving forward. He's going to be important for this team, and I know maybe he gets traded down the line. You know, maybe this is a guy that ends up getting moved next summer if they do some kind of deal just in terms of salary, but I think if you're the Cavs, this is just a game where Steven Adams just beasted him, and that's a problem. Steven Adams is a big reason why OKC kept steady in this game, frankly. Just a couple of stats that I want to point out from the good folks at Clean the Glass, a.k.a. Ben Falk. They can have these great box scores for every game. Cavs in this game, their points per possession in this game, the offense clicks at 96 percentile. That's 129 per their calculations. If you look at the ESPN box scores, had offensive rating of 128.8, defensive rating of 120.2, so that's not great, but that defensive rating, that offensive rating is just outstanding. Just, again, this offense is clicking right now. The defense not as good in this game. I liked how they defended Westbrook, but, you know, George and Adams in particular and Carmelo all had really nice nights, and the Cavs really just basically beat up a bad Thunder bench. And to work back to point number two, it's worth noting that the Thunder bench is just not good, and that's part of the it's just not good. That is maybe part of the reason why the Cavs succeed in it. As they play teams with better benches, how do these lineups succeed against better benches will be worth noting in context. And right now, I think you feel good about this Cavs team. They're going into the break, a good win, shot well, had a really good offensive rating, beat a good Thunder team, executed well in the half quarter, playing at a really nice pace, a little faster pace that I think is good to see LeBron playing at. And they're going to keep figuring things out. It's a bummer for them that they're going to have to take this break, but you have to feel good about them heading into the All-Star break. We'll have more later this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, the Cavs beat the Thunder 120-112 in OKC to wrap up their schedule before the All-Star break. And they'll be back against the Wizards next Thursday. You'll have shows in between now and then. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. Find the pod on Twitter at LockdownCavs. And leave that 5-star rating interview in iTunes if you're so obliged. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.